Om Shri Sai Ram. On this landmark year 2015, when we are celebrating 90 years of amazing grace and fulfilling love of our beloved Bhagavan, we, the members of Radio Sai team, humbly offer our loving and grateful pranams at the lotus feet. Dear Swami, we are extremely grateful to you for allowing us for this priceless opportunity of sharing your love and message to the entire world through Radio Sai Global Harmony. So as an expression of this deep gratitude to you, we, a few members of this ever-expanding Radio Sai team, have gathered here today to humbly offer our love to you, Swami, through a small presentation entitled, Who is Sai? So, we begin this program through a celebratory dance. Jai Sai Ram.
is Sai? This is a question we started our journey with. This is a question that is still to be answered satisfactorily. But why should we even try to answer it at all? Hasn't Bhagwan himself said, "Do not try to explain me, but experience me." But the human mind believes that what it can understand is what it can claim its own, and hence it never ceases to try. The mind is the adventurous salt doll that has the audacity to look at the vast ocean and say, "Let me see how deep you are." But today, when we ask this question, "Who is Sai?" we are not speaking of the attempt of an individual mind. But what if this question was posed by the collective mind of all mankind? By that mind which has witnessed the advent unfold over many decades? Let us imagine this mind to be an artist, a painter maybe, who is trying to depict this divine enigma through his art. The canvas is vast and empty. He stands before it with the brush of perception in one hand and the palette of experiences on the other. As Bhagwan reveals himself aspect by aspect, the artist, with strokes fashioned by his reasoning, will cast in art his image of Sai. A picture as complex as this will need numerous strokes, no doubt. But the artist says, "Not a problem. My palette is full and I am adept," he declares. After all, don't we know enough about Swami to accomplish this task? But where do we begin this exploration? Why not start by asking a direct question? Yes, we shall indeed begin there. Let us ask him, "Who are you?"
The first, probably the first ever representative of the collective mind to get this opportunity to ask Swami who you are was none other than his own bodily father, Pedda Venkama Raju. And he asked this question from Swami at a time when his entire family was going through great suffering and pain. It was those days after the scorpion had stung Swami, or it had been rumored to have stung Swami. And people wondered, what has happened to Swami? He began to behave very eccentric. At the same time, he showed shades of divinity and genius. He would faint. He would get fits. He would shiver. He would quiver. He would quake. He had fevers. But on the other hand, he would exude poetry. He would sing songs supreme, songs divine. Nobody knew what was happening. Some people said it is a mental malady. Some said it is poison. Some said that it is a ghost that has possessed the child. Through this entire phase, the father was in great pain. He was wondering, what has happened to my son? And so one day, he decided to end this once for all. What did he do? He picked up a stick and brandishing it, he went to the boy and said, "Stop this stupid nonsense. Who are you? Are you a madcap? Are you a ghost? Are you God? Are you Narasimha? Are you Narayana? Who are you?" It was the 23rd of May. Swami just looked and said, "I am Sai Baba." The stick dropped from the father's hand. He did not know. The question had been asked so suddenly. The answer had come so spontaneously. And the father did not know how to respond. he thought that a ghost had possessed his son and the ghost was speaking. He said, Sai Baba or Hai Baba, I don't care. Just let go of my son. Let go of the village. Leave us in peace. The Divine Lord does not descend into cheap tricks of possessing people. Swami looked at the father and said, no, I am Sai Baba. I am born of the Apastamba Sutra, the Bharadvaja Gotra. Your own Venkavaduta prayed for my arrival along with all the saints, and that is why I have come. The father said, what should we do? What should we do if you are Sai Baba? And Swami simply said, worship me. Worship me every Thursday. Keep your homes clean. Keep your minds pure. I shall take care of all your troubles. I shall ensure that your life is filled with ananda. That was the first time the question had been asked by the collective mind of humanity through the father. And that was the answer that the little boy gave. The answer contains the correct, complete answer. But how much we understand of it depends on our own ability. That is why the saint Annamacharya sang, Yanta matramuna yavaru talachina anta matrame nivu. The understanding of you, O Lord, depends on the devotee's depth of perception. You see, Swami says, the rain falls on everyone equally. But depending on the depth, you become either a pond or you become the vast ocean. This question has been asked, and the painter that the collective mind is will now depict his own understanding. And let us all grow together in this journey of understanding who Sai is. If now you direct your attention to the screens, you will see the first realization and understanding of the painter of who Sai is.
Sai Ram, Shri Guru Sai Ram. Sadguru Sai Ram, Sri Guru Sai Ram, Shirdi ke Sai, Parati ke Baba.
The collective mind was coming to terms with this fact that this little boy was no more their village boy Satyam. He was the avatar of the Baba of Shirdi, of some distant town in North India. But this was the very limiting perception that Swami began to break. Because after a while, Swami started giving visions to individuals in the forms they had come to worship over the years. He appeared as Lord Rama to the Raja of Venkatagiri. He appeared as Lord Shiva to the first pujari of the mandir, Seshagiri Rao. He appeared as Lord Subramanya to a lady who was devoted to that form. He appeared as Ganesha to Swami Amritananda. So he began telling people that I am the very same form you've been worshipping all these years. A very interesting episode we came by. There was this devotee who is sitting for Swami's darshan. This was way back in the 1960s. The beautiful sands over here, you all would recollect. And this devotee was sitting there, but he had a small dilemma in his mind. At the very same time he was here, in the temple of his family deity, the chariot procession was being celebrated. And it so happened that this person's family had the opportunity to offer the first worship in that temple. So he was wondering, is he doing the right thing by sitting here instead of being in that family deity's temple? Of course, he was drawn to Swami. He had a lot of love and devotion to Swami. But he was still not sure of who this Sai really is. So to console himself, he told, let me offer Manasa Puja. That is, let me offer worship to that deity of my family mentally. So sitting here, he closed his eyes and he started chanting the shlokas, which is part of the rituals there. And then mentally he imagined that he picked up a tulsi leaf, dipped it in sandalwood paste, and offered it at the feet of that deity. This was part of the ritualistic worship there. He did it 3 times. Even as he completed this Manasa Puja, Swami, who had come out for darshan, completed the rounds near the lady's side and came exactly near him. And even as he was seeing Swami interestingly struck the very same pose in which that family deity stands in that temple in Karnataka. He was so thrilled, he was overwhelmed. He looked at Swami's feet in gratitude. And even as he looked down, Swami gently lifted his robe. And to his amazement, 3 tulsi leaves dipped in fresh sandalwood paste rolled out. In that very moment, not only Swami proved to him that he was the very same deity he was worshipping, but also proved to him that whatever is the ritualistic worship he has always been offering has been reaching his lotus feet. So when Swami took this place of our Ishta Devata, he became our favorite God. We ran to him with all our problems. He became the go-to God for all our issues. For petty problems we had, petty prayers we had to make, we came running to Swami. We celebrated him like a deity. We took him out in palanquins. We had a golden chariot. We had a Paduka festival. And Swami did not do this only to individuals. On very rare occasions, even publicly, Swami declared this. A case in point is the year 1963 Guru Purnima celebrations. In this very bhajan hall, Swami stood there, cured himself of a paralytic stroke and declared to the world, I am Shiva Shakti Swarupa. So that Swami, when we asked, who are you? He said, I am Shirdi Baba. Now he is saying, I am in Shiva Shakti Swarupa. So that's a nice hint for this collective mind. But now it is going to be interesting to see what is the image this painter, our collective mind, is going to create of this hint that he has got. Let us see.
Yavmaru tarachina. So in this journey of the collective mind perceiving the Lord, we are at a stage where the collective mind is cognizing the divine as the God to go to solve all their problems, the God to go to for their solace and succor. He was our Rama. Someone said he's my Shiva. Someone else said he's my Krishna. Someone said, no, he's my Panduranga. When a member of the royal family from the Western Hemisphere was in Prashanthi Nilayam, Swami in the interview room created a medallion of Jesus Christ and told her, Princess, right from your childhood, you have been a sincere lover of Lord Jesus Christ. That is the reason why I brought you to me. When you were 5 years old, when you saw a picture where Lord Jesus Christ was nailed on the cross, you cried so inconsolably, no one could stop you crying for 2 days. I do not want you to cry again. That is why the medallion that I have created for you has a picture of Jesus Christ smiling. I want you to be always happy looking at the happy picture of Christ. When a Japanese professor was in the interview room, Bhagwan produced a heart and asked him, do you know what this is? The professor had no clue. Bhagwan revealed, this is your heart. When you were born, your heart stopped beating. Your body had turned blue. Your father offered you at the shrine of Lord Buddha, praying earnestly for the Lord's grace. It is at this time that I restored life into you. So the collective mind now perceive the Lord through the lens of a deity, through the lens of a prophet. And that is how they related to the Lord. That is how they worship the Lord. And then comes the declaration of Bhagwan, where he emphatically states in 1968 on the occasion of the first world conference of Sri Satya Sai Seva organizations, Swami says, in this human form, every divine entity, every divine principle, that is all names and forms ascribed by man to God, are manifest. Do not doubt ever. And then Bhagwan goes on to say, what you are witnessing is the bliss of the experience of the vision of Sarva Devata Swarupa. You are seeing the form which subsumes in it all names and forms. And Bhagwan goes on to erect the 50 feet Sarva Dharma Stupa and unequivocally tells us that he is not your God and my God. He is indeed the God. And Bhagwan, after that declaration, tells us how we can attain him. If we are to attain him, we should not have any reservations of caste, creed and color. And that is how we learned that the way to God's heart now is by relating to every other person heart to heart. Bhagwan was the unifier of mankind. So the collective mind at this point picturized the Lord as the emancipator, as the unifier, as the synthesizer of humanity, and Prashanthi Nilayam became the spiritual capital of the world, of all paths that lead to divine. Let us look at the screen to see how the collective mind now gave expression and picturization to this perception. Thank you.
idea of Sai being the unifier of all religions has been beautifully sung by Bhagwan himself.
Allayanju Muhammadinu Jahavayanju Sakristuhu Ullajjachudatamju Vaishnavu Sembohanju Sehul Sadala
So now, having become their Ishtadevata, having become their god of worship, having become their favorite form of worship, what did Swami do? He didn't sit on his high throne, decorated with gold and diamonds. No, just look at him, walking barefoot on the hard ground, tenderly holding his robe with one hand, bending low and serving the poor and needy. Yes, service with love and compassion has always been the cornerstone of Swami's life. Be it the general hospital that Swami started 60 years back, or the many projects that Swami did ever since, this has been at the base of all his projects. Just think of this, a man sitting in a 5-star hotel in an air-conditioned room, sitting leg on leg, and having the power and authority to sanction projects to serve the poor. My question is, does he have any idea of what the poor need? He's so far away, he's so cut off from what the poor need. But Swami was not that. He knew exactly what the poor needed. He knew what they lacked. He knew exactly what the ladies in the Godavari district needed. Why they didn't get water when they were just meters away from a perennial river. He knew why the people in Chennai didn't get water. He knew why the villages around Puttaparthi didn't get medical care. He knew why he had to set up a super speciality hospital here in a village. He knew it with compassion in his heart and passion in his belly. I think Swami started something most extraordinary. He showed us the path. What did Swami do? He worked upwards from down. He made sure that the best technology, he made sure that the best equipment, the best people came to reach to the last person. And this didn't happen without a lot of sacrifice. You know, Swami is often called, Lord Shiva is called Tyagaraja. Tyagaraja means the one, the king of sacrifice. Nobody else befits this beautiful orange robe that our Lord wears. The orange stands for sacrifice. Now this flame of sacrifice, this flame of sacrifice and selfless service that Swami embodied inspired people all over the world. Look at people in Africa going all the way to a leper's camp, treating the leprosy, treating them and then giving them shelter. Look at this aristocrat from London selling his house, getting his property to invest in a seva school in Zambia. Look at all the seva activities done all over the world, all over India. And for what did they do this seva? For what are they doing this service? Because the people realized that this was a royal highway. This was a road that led directly to Swami. This highway of service which Swami has come to establish inspired one and all. Then Swami said, with what spirit are you to serve? When some people went to Swami and said, Swami, your mobile hospital, Swami, your Gram Seva is so unique. People all over the world should know it. People all over the world should remember and recognize the uniqueness of this project. What did Swami say? He says, when a mother gives some clothes to her children and feeds them, does she
go and advertise? Vasudeka Kutumbakam, the whole world is one family. That is the spirit with which we have to serve. So now, Mr. Collective Mind, I have no idea what you are going to depict. Swami has come for the redemption of the poor. Swami has come for uplifting and serving one and all.
Been quite a journey for the collective mind. We have seen him to be Sai Baba, we have seen him to be the various deities we worship, and now we see him as the embodiment of compassion and service. So that is the best way to reach him, isn't it? Many years ago, Swami was standing in this very portico and talking to some of his students, and there were also some devotees. In the course of the conversation, one overseas devotee looked at Swami and said, "Swami, we are so fortunate. We are so grateful to be part of your mission." The word mission caught Swami's attention. Swami said, "What mission? What mission are you talking about?" And there was pin drop silence. Then Swami went on to say, "I am not a missionary, sir." Then Swami looked at the students around and said, "What is Swami's mission?" Nobody had any answers. Then Swami went on to say, "I have no mission." Swami explained profoundly. He said, "The only mission I have come with, the only mission every avatar comes with, is to make each individual realize the divinity within." Now that fits in like a jigsaw puzzle, doesn't it? Because initially he told us that whichever divinity you worship, whichever divine form you worship, I am that. And now he's saying, "I am within you." Now he's saying that I have come to make you understand that I am within you. Now this opens up a completely new dimension for this human mind. But doesn't this also explain why Swami said, "Veda Poshana is one of my tasks." Even as he was doing seva, even as he was feeding the poor and giving water to the thirsty, he said, "Let us protect the Vedas," because as Swami would say, the essence of the Vedas is the Vedanta. And the Vedanta's message is oneness. Ah, now it gives a better picture, doesn't it? When you worship him, the idea is to understand that he is within you. When you serve people around, the idea is to understand that I'm serving the same God who is within you. I'm sure we have traveled far enough and get a better picture of that Sai who is an enigma. And you will agree with me that the collective mind, the artist, will be able to get a more comprehensive image of Swami now. But if you're still not sure, let us listen to one small discourse clip where Swami clearly says who he is. Because as we said, all the while we were going back to Swami and asking, "Who are you?" So why not hear from Swami what he describes himself as?
Tad bhavam tad bhavati.
As is your feeling, so will be your... Do not consider Bhagavan as a mere body. Bhagavan is our
indweller.
There is no difference between Bhagavan and
you.
Bhagavan has got all the potential. And you think that Bhagavan is not able to walk. If you go by the physical frame, the body, naturally you think like this. Bhagavan has nothing like boyhood, childhood, youth and so on. Bhagavan is only one. Bhagavan can do anything if he wishes. Bhagavan's body belongs to you. Bhagavan's physical frame is for you. You can change it in the way you like. If you have got, if you have the true feeling that Bhagavan is strong, well, he is strong. There's no weakness in him. The body may appear to be weak. But it's just the physical appearance, but truly. Worship God in spirit, not in physical frame. Just keep aside this physical formful aspect. Worship God at the level of the spirit, in a spiritual way. When you worship and live in spirit, then you can understand the spirit. We have to give up, sacrifice the body identification. In fact, you are not confined to the body. Body is just physical. But the real I is spiritual. That real I, truly speaking, is your
I
true
I. Okay,
the I plus I is equal to I.
I plus I.
You go on adding I plus I, it is only one I, God. And that oneness is attachment to the spirit. There is no difference. No difference whatsoever. After all, if you have got this body attachment with all the education and knowledge and awareness,
you will be in vain.
Perhaps you have to stand as an example so that you can be a demonstration to others. And you are not for yourself after all.
You are not body.
You are not the body.
You are I.
You are the real I, the spirit.
A real I in you.
Keep that view in view, the real I. And you just forget the formful aspect. You are so weak as it is now, but if you are attached to the spirit, you will be very strong in the days to come.
I am God.
Establish yourself in the firm feeling that I am God.
Yantamatramuna yavaru talachina antamatrame nivo yantamatramuna yavaru talachina
So all along this journey, we started by asking, who is Sai? And as we moved along, our perceptions started widening. They started moving into new vistas. We started seeing in different dimensions the new aspects, new revelations. And all along, the collective mind, as a beautiful artist in paint and color, was giving picturization to our perceptions and conclusions. And whatever we have noticed till now is so beautiful. But now that we have heard Bhagwan and listened to what he said, and now that we have seemed to understand so much of Bhagwan, let us see, as we end this journey of who is Sai, what the collective mind comes up with. Now, what is the complete picture of Bhagwan that the collective mind now has for us? Let us see where we have reached in the exploration of the divine, in the exploration of who is Sai.
Aham Brahmasmi.
So that is where we are at the end of this beautiful journey. Everything that we discussed, every perception, every conclusion amounted to not even the mole on Bhagwan's cheek. It did not do justice to even the mole on the beautiful face. If the Lord declared that He is Sarva Devata Swarupa, if He declared that He is Shiva Shakti Swarupa, if in 1947 He declared that His only task is to fill all lives with Ananda, the only source of all these expressions was and is His unbounded love. Maybe we focused so much on His expressions of Himself than on the source of those declarations and the manifestations. Bhagwan says, if you want to see the moon, you need the moonlight. You cannot see the moon with a torch. Similarly, if we want to experience the embodiment of love, we need the supreme vibration of creation. We need love to perceive Him. If you hold the tiny torches of His manifestations, the tiny torch of His miracles, the tiny torch of His institutions or establishments, we would never be able to perceive even a fraction of who He is. Whether we follow the Bhakti Marga, the Jnana Marga, or the path of Nishkama Seva, if it is interlaced with service, if it has love as the basis, then maybe we will get a glimpse of who He is. Bhagwan says, all we have to do is to not cover ourselves with interpretations of who He is, but uncover ourselves of who we are. Uncover our body, uncover our mind, still our thoughts, go within, and there we would find the Lord, we would find Him steady, permanent, resplendent. the best definition of God, which is also the perfect definition of ourselves, which Bhagwan so lucidly explained, is I am I. There is truly no other. Sai is the self within. Sai is the self within and without. And this self, when it becomes a verb, it becomes pure love in action. Let us lose ourselves in this love. Let us become one with this love. Let us become love.
jai 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 Ganapati Deva
Thank you. Jai Guru.